Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 11, verses 47 to 57. John chapter 11, verses 47 to 57. Now keep in mind this subject while we read. Counsels. Counsels. Let's read John chapter 11, verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he, not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves, as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment, that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. All right, now, here is a perfect example of the work of counsels. The Pharisees perceived a threat due to the miracles of Jesus, and their conclusion was to kill him in order to protect themselves. Now, this is the height of wickedness, but it demonstrates a clear warning, and the warning is this: beware of ecumenical councils, beware of church councils, beware of the world council of churches. You see, when the Bible uses a word like the word council, God leaves that word in there for a reason. I was just talking to a lady this morning at breakfast, and she said, "Yes, I don't read the King James Bible because of the these and thous." It's not really the these and thous that concern her. There's a spirit in that book, and the spirit of that book shows you that it's authoritative. It's the thing that impressed the people and concerned the scribes and Pharisees. You see, the authority of this book is that it will identify things that are going on in the world today and warn you to stay away from those things, and sometimes you don't want to, as it turns out, this woman was very favorable to the charismatic Catholic movement that is bringing churches together. She was an ecumenical type person, and saw that as a good thing. But this discourse here would say to you that that thing is not a good thing, because it's driven by councils, you see. So, what we want to do is we want to analyze what took place here in this passage, and then we want to draw some conclusions based upon what we see here. All right, now, how did things progress? Well, first of all, Jesus performed miracles. Look again in verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." Now, the Pharisees were very familiar with the gathering of the councils, you see. And these councils then were designed for them to be able to make certain decisions. And I'll show you a little pattern here in just a minute of the way the Pharisees had been acting through these councils and how this was just a continuation of the things that had been going on. All right, Jesus performed the miracles. That's the first thing that got all of this started. For instance, by this time, Lazarus was already raised from the dead. That happened in John chapter 11. And as a result, they wanted to kill Jesus, and not only that, they wanted to kill Lazarus as well. Look in John chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. You see the problem? Because he had been raised from the dead, people were coming after the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus had already been raised. That was a tremendous miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, the blind man, the man that had been blind from his birth, was now sighted. Jesus had caused him to be able to see. Boy, that really caused a stir and really divided the people. And as a result of this blind man's testimony, the Jews had excommunicated him. In John chapter 9, verse 34, that answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. You see, that's the work of a council. They saw this miracle of Jesus Christ concerning the raising of Lazarus. That didn't cause them to believe on the Lord God. That's obviously only a miracle that God Almighty could have performed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they rejected it totally. And then they have the miracle here of a man that was blind from his birth, and now he could see. And he said, listen, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And rather than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord God, they cast the man out. You see how contrary men can be once they can get together in a council and make decisions? They make decisions that are contrary to God. Back in John chapter 5, an impotent man had been healed by the Lord God. A man that could never get into the pool of water at Bethesda fast enough in order to be healed. And when he was healed, it was on the Sabbath day, and Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk. And he did what the miracle worker, what God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, had told him to do. And the Pharisees spied him. And they got furious with him because he carried his bed on the Sabbath day. And as a result, they persecuted Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 16, Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Jesus Christ did these miracles so that they, these Pharisees and everybody else, would believe on the Lord God. Look in John chapter 10, leading up to this council. John chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Well, I hate to tell you, number one, he didn't commit blasphemy. Number two, he is God. So the only thing they could really stone him for was his good works. And Jesus had correctly asked the question. Look at verse 38 and verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. What was the reaction? The reaction was they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. They never would believe the work. They never did believe the works. They saw those miracles that Jesus had performed, decided to get together a council so they could work up some excuse about what to do with him. You know what these miracles caused them to do? Instead of causing them to become believers, which they should have done, obviously, it caused them to become envious. Look in Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. Pilate even figured it out, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Okay, so Jesus performed the miracles. That's what got the thing started. And the Pharisees called together a council. Now the council met, And this isn't the first time that a council had ever met. There in verse 47, the Pharisees, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees, a council. That's not the first time they'd met. Look back there in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, very early on in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew they were going to have trouble with him. Jesus Christ said to his disciples when he chose them, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." The first chance that Jesus Christ had, he warned them against councils. And now in the order of the lessons that we're teaching here, following verse by verse through the book of John, I warn you to beware of men. They will deliver you up to the councils. When you see church councils and ecumenical councils and the World Council of Churches, you are dealing with men. And men will kick God out of everything that God is trying to do. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Councils are very destructive. So the council met and they considered their options. Now they had basically two options that arose during the council. First option, leave him alone. Look in verse 48. If we let him alone, or if we let him thus alone, there's going to be some consequences. And that's their first option. We can just let him go. All right, the result of that first option will be, number one, all men will believe on him. All men will believe on him. Well, what's wrong with that? Who was worse off for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, everybody who did got eternal life, and Jesus promised it to them. Everyone who believed had been made free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Everybody that believed on him got healed. Blind men saw, lepers were cleansed, dead men were raised, lame men walked, dumb men spake, deaf men heard. Excuse me, would somebody mind explaining to me what's wrong with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? I've never met a man yet in all of history and in all of my life who was worse off for trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul trusted him and he got beat up. He said, "In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He was a happy man. And you know something? He was happier under a pile of rocks outside of Derby being stoned for his testimony in Jesus Christ than many of you are with money and bills and health and a big house and a new car. How do you explain that? You can only explain it one way. No man is ever worse off for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, if we can let him alone, and then all men will believe on him. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Nothing. Look in Acts chapter 5. Gamaliel, learning from these men's experiences and from other experiences of other men through time, was a much smarter man than these men. Gamaliel stood up in a council in Acts chapter 5, verse 34. He was a doctor of the law, and he was had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And then he had a discussion with the council. And he said, let me tell you something. In verse 36 of Acts chapter 5, he said, "Before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught." In other words, Thutis died, and his movement dwindled. "After this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, drew away much people after him. He also perished when he did, and all as many as obeyed him were dispersed." All right, now Jesus Christ is dead. So this movement is going to disperse. But then he says this, verse 38, "Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." Aha! Acts chapter 5, verse 39 is our clue then. They could have left this alone, and in fact, more men would have believed on him because you can't stop God. But they chose instead to go another route. And in so doing, they were fighting against God, the very thing that Gamaliel warned the Pharisees against doing in Acts chapter 5. Look at John again. The first option they had was to leave him alone, but look at the second option. Verse 48, if we let him alone, all men will believe on him. Result, the Romans will take away our place and our nation. The result will be that all men will believe on him. The Romans will take away our place and our nation. Now, they really weren't worried so much about the Romans taking away their nation as a result of this. They were more interested in the Romans taking away their place because they were selfish. You see, in Matthew chapter 23, they did a number of things. Like, for instance, if they had ever stoned Jesus Christ like they wanted to, that would have caused them problems with the Romans because they didn't have authority to do that action without their permission. But in Matthew chapter 23, verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Verse 6, love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. You see, politically, these men were in tight with the Roman government, and therefore they were just like a state church. They're going to take away our place. But not only that, they're going to take away our nation. Listen, they said that simply to get the support of the other Pharisees that were there and later on to get the support of the people. It was used the same way here in this council as was used back in Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 4. When they got mad, when the princes got mad at Jeremiah, look what happened in Jeremiah 38:4. The princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. Talking about Jeremiah. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. No, indeed. What he sought was the welfare of the people. He told them, if you will go ahead and capitulate to the Chaldeans, they'll save your life and you can stay where you are. But in so doing, the princes would lose their positions of authority. And in order to preserve their positions of authority, the princes decided that Jeremiah needed to die. And in so doing, they actually brought on the destruction of Jerusalem, and they lost their nation and their place because they were selfishly motivated. The Pharisees in John chapter 11 were exactly the same. They used a political state church setup in order to try to influence the Romans to let them keep their place, and they were fools. They said, they'll come and take away our nation. They did anyway. Haven't you read Matthew chapter 24? Jesus Christ prophesied it before his death. Jesus went out in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him all the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, Say ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And you know what? In 70 A.D., Titus the Roman came in and destroyed the temple and dispersed the Jews, and they were out of there until 1948. Hello, Mr. Pharisee man. Bad choice. All right, their first choice was to leave it alone and lose their place and nation, which obviously they wouldn't have done, and they did. The second choice was to kill him. Look at verse 49. One of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year. That's where Jesus Christ was taken after he was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane. First to Annas, who was Caiaphas' father-in-law, and then to Caiaphas, the man that orchestrated this. He was the high priest that same year. He said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us. There you go, the path of convenience. That one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Okay, that was their decision, their other option then. They could kill him. Well, if they killed him, then the result would be this. One man would die and not all the people. And that decision has resulted in the deaths and dispersions of millions upon millions of Jews over time, in over all these centuries. Caiaphas did, in fact, prophesy correctly. Verse 51, this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. That was correctly prophesied. And not for that nation only, but that he also should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. That's true. That fulfills John chapter 10, verse 16. and John chapter 7, verse 35. It was prophetic. They thought they could kill Jesus Christ and get away without having to lose their place and their nation and their lives. They were wrong. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They couldn't keep him down. They lost their place. They lost their nation. And they lost their lives. Millions upon millions. Okay, those are the two options. What did the council decide? Well, the council decided to kill him. All right, so see the progress? Jesus performed the miracles. The council met. The council decided. Decision? Kill him. Verse 53. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. And in so doing, they brought out a decree. The council commanded. They brought out a decree or an edict or, as in the case of the Vatican, a bull. Verse 54. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. Now, some of the people thought he was going to stay there and to avoid detection, to avoid being killed. But verse 55, the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. Many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. That's Numbers 9, verse 10. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? They knew that the Pharisees were serious. And so they thought, well, maybe Jesus is going to hide out this time. What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a commandment. There's the edict. There's the bull. That if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. In other words, when you find him, tell us where he is. And of course, that caused some of them to question whether he would come or not. You see, the council was expedient. It was convenient. But it was very costly, and in the end, very ineffective. Now watch what we mean. Watch how the Bible will show you time and time again, the Pharisees will use a council, the council will make a decision, the decision will be followed by a command, and the result will be a total failure every single time. All right, let's look at it from the Bible, and then I'll show you one other thing. Look in Acts chapter 4, verse 15. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 15. The disciples were preaching. All right. Acts chapter 4, verse 15, then when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? Isn't that just sound like what they did to Jesus? They killed him. He rose from the dead. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle, oh God, there's the problem again, hath been done by them as manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak not henceforth to no man in this name. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Same problem as they had with Jesus. See, they thought Jesus performed a miracle, we'll kill him and shut the thing up. Jesus rose from the dead and the miracles didn't stop. So they thought they'd have another council to squelch it. We'll threaten you, we'll beat you, we'll kill you. What did it do? Nothing. You couldn't shut them up. In Acts chapter 5, verse 34, Gamaliel stands up and says, man, you might as well leave him alone. You're not going to be able to stop this if it's from God. But they didn't listen to Gamaliel. In Acts chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, they held another council. What are we going to do with Stephen? They had a bunch of false witnesses, just like they did with Jesus. They accused him of blasphemy, just like they did with Jesus. They said, this man sees us not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. The holy place came tumbling down just a few years after they had this council. They stoned Stephen. What happened? That only caused the salvation of Paul. That caused the Jews to scatter abroad, and what they hoped to contain and squelch out in their local area spread worldwide. Then they caught Paul in Acts chapter 22, and they held another council in verse 30. And they thought by holding the council against Paul in Acts chapter 22, verse 30, and several other places in the book of Acts, that they could knock it out. So they put Paul in prison. You know what Paul did? He wrote the New Testament. Finally, Paul died, and guess what? The New Testament has been published worldwide. I've got a copy of it sitting here on my desk right now, from which I am preaching, have preached, and will preach till I die. Every attempt they made to stop it only resulted in something that made them look more foolish. The death of Jesus Christ resulted in his resurrection. The threat against the disciples resulted in their further preaching. The death of Stephen resulted in the persecution that spread the gospel out worldwide. The attempted death of Paul resulted in the publication of the New Testament. Councils always support actions that are contrary to God and always never work to stop the problem and only result in a greater revival of the words of God. Now, I'll give you one council that's been held in modern time. It's an ecumenical council, but there have been many. This was the Council of Trent. It was the 19th Ecumenical Council of the Roman Catholic Church, held at Trent in northern Italy between 1545 and 1563. It marked a major turning point in the efforts of the Catholic Church to respond to the challenge of the Protestant Reformation. You know what they did in this thing? In the area of religious doctrine, the council refused any concessions to the Protestants and, in process, crystallized and codified the Catholic dogma far more than ever before. It directly opposed Protestantism by reaffirming the existence of seven sacraments, transubstantiation, which is a lie, purgatory, which is a lie, the necessity of the priesthood, which is a lie, the justification by works as well as by faith, which is a lie, clerical celibacy, which is a lie, monasticism were maintained, and decrees were issued in favor of the efficacy of relics, contrary to the second commandment of God, indulgences and the veneration of the Virgin Mary and the saints, contrary to God. Tradition was declared co-equal to Scripture as a source of spiritual knowledge, and the sole right of the church to interpret the Bible was asserted. The Council of Trent was absolutely 100% contrary to God Almighty, and the result is that Protestantism and biblical Christianity spread worldwide, and we've got more people saved today than ever before in the history of mankind. Beware of men and councils, my friends.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.